Blog Talk Radio.
My dear friend, we've been friends for many, many years, and you throw the best parties, anybody I know, and if anything I miss during this pandemic is your parties. So I can't wait till this is over and we can get back and do the dance floor and the parties and the good times. For those who don't know, I'm Dr. Willie Jolly, and I am honored to be married to the beautiful and brilliant Dee Taylor Jolly. That's the highlight of my life. I've had a couple other things that have happened that I've achieved, but the greatest achievement is getting that woman to marry me. I have some of the highlights I guess people might know me by is I was inducted into the Speaker Hall of Fame. I'm a professional speaker. And some years ago, I was named one of the top five speakers in the world by Toastmasters International, joining Colin Powell, Norman Schwarzkopf, Nelson Mandela, Les Brown. And then, as I said, inducted in the Speaker Hall of Fame. And then I was named a legend of the speaking industry a couple of years ago and one of the top five leadership speakers in America. And then I've written a couple of books that have done fairly well. It only takes a minute to change your life. A setback is a set up for a comeback. Turn Setbacks into Greenbacks, An Attitude of Excellence, Chicken Soup for the Soul. And I am honored also to be on radio, on daily radio across America, on Radio 1 on the Get Up Morning with Erica Campbell morning show every morning at 8:20 Eastern, 7:20 Central. You can hear Wake Up and Win with Dr. Willie Jolly. And then on weekends and during the week, you can hear me on the Willie Jolly Wealthy Way show on SiriusXM Radio, which is the number one self-help show in the country now. And then that goes from SiriusXM to the iHeartRadio podcast and C-Suite podcast and Spotify. And I'm just, but I said all of those things are just secondary. They're tertiary. The number one achievement I got was to get this woman who kept telling me, no, 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 I'm not going to marry you. No, I'm not going to marry you. To get her to say yes in a weak moment. And almost 36 years ago, she said yes. And we've been married 36 years, haven't had an argument in over 33 years. And those first years, couple years were really tough because we were arguing, but we got some wise counsel and some mentorship from some marriage experts, mentors, people who had been married 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And once we learned the secrets for a happy marriage and started implementing in our lives, it worked. And so a few years ago, we wrote a book that's gone on to be a very popular marriage book called Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last, 10 Secrets for Shaping a Great Marriage. And now we are doing a television show every week on Facebook Live, and it's called Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last, the broadcast, every Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time on Facebook Live. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it, and that's the truth. And so I just give you what I got. And I got my beautiful bride on the phone with me as well. Dee, are you there?
Yes, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy pre-Valentine's Day.
So why don't you tell them a little bit about Dee Taylor Jolly?
I am the wife of Dr. Willie Jolly.
Well, there's more to it than that. You got a lot more going on than that, and where you come from and what you do and what you've done and all of that.
Well, I'm a Southern Belle who ended up in the city. And after being a school teacher, working on Capitol Hill, my very persuasive husband sold me on coming to work with him. That was a leap of faith and a series of challenges, but we have weathered the storm. I did not want to be an entrepreneur. He convinced me that I could be one, as he's convinced me about so many things, and so we are in the boat together. And so he shakes the tree, he shakes the apples from the tree, and I turn the apples into all kinds of things, apple cobbler, apple pie, apple juice, whatever it is, to grow our legacy in terms of saving, investing, and all those other kinds of things. And then to enjoy each other and respect each other.
Amen. And we got a son who is a lawyer, and we got a daughter, and she's in North Carolina, a couple grandkids in North Carolina. And we have, you know, here's something, Russell, that's very important. We've been in the house for 10 months together now. Just the two of us, okay? No one else is up in here. My son doesn't live with us. And so, you know, when you're with somebody for 10 months, you better like them. And so we do like each other. We enjoy just being here together, and it's been great. Now, over the years, we have been together almost 24/7. Anyway, we would in non-COVID pandemic times, we worked together, we traveled together, and so the only time we weren't together was early in the morning. She's an early riser; she gets up before 6 every day, and when normal times, she would be at her yoga studio by 6 a.m. and she'd be back after yoga, and then she'd go to the gym, and then she'd go to the grocery stores or whatever she did. She'd usually come in around 10 a.m. and I would go to the gym around 8 and be back around 10, and then we'd start our work day. So other than those 4 hours, we're together 24/7. So it's, I guess it's 27, 7 days a week. So that's our story, Russell. We just want to help people to have better marriages, better relationships, and to be enhanced and inspired by the lessons we've learned.
Well, excellent, because your relationship not only is it inspirational, but it is helpful. But during the pandemic, people realize what a relationship is, and if you don't have one, it's critical during the pandemic to have someone that you can take the mask off for, that's take off mask love worthy in the house 9 months. That's serious. Do you realize the millions of people that don't have that? And that do have that, they don't get along. The pandemic
that's
is
right.
Tearing their marriage apart because they realize they don't like each other. Because prior to the pandemic, they were not around each other that long like that. But now they have
absolutely.
To be together.
Yes,
people
sir.
Are sitting
that's absolutely
in separate
right.
bedrooms during the pandemic. You believe that, really? Married couples are
wow.
sitting in separate because of the pandemic, because they don't like each other. So tell
wow.
us, if you could give one secret sauce 33, here's another thing you have, Willie, and I admire you so much because I've known you for years. I mean, you have been impressive. You were an inspiration to me to even do motivational speaking, to publish my magazine, to, you know, it's people like you and Kathy Hughes and Les Brown. But I was there. I never forget the night when Les Brown introduced you at the Warner Theater. And you took that introduction. I mean, he just gave you a open the door moment, and you took that moment and ran with it. And today, your name is not only as large as Les Brown, but just as equal as Les Brown. But here's the key to your success also. You had two things that was, in my opinion, was powerful, because there's a lot of speakers. I mean, I remember all kind of speakers years ago, you know. But I remember what you had that took you to another level was you had the spirituality card and the marriage card. Those two cards, man, anybody can be a good speaker. Anybody could you know, what it called, woo an audience. Anybody could, you know, fill a room up. But when they leave the podium, they ain't got nobody to go to. You know what I'm saying?
Well, thank you.
You got somebody to go to. I mean, and it showed toward the end, like as the years went on, everybody else's career still came okay, but your career kept going to another level. When you, and then you had the ministry card, and then you turned around and then up, bam, and now you got this 36 years of marriage, and you have what they call an announceable marriage. You announce your woman. You announce tell us how important it is for a man to announce his wife. Because people are married, but they're not announceable marriages. They don't talk about their wife.
That's an interesting wording, announceable marriage. I'm going to have to write that down. What does
that mean? Serious. I mean, when you got somebody that you can announce, I mean, do you realize, Dee, how many people are married? Here's what happened with the pandemic. I'm on Facebook, right? And I'm seeing people start talking about their wives. And I'm saying, this guy can't be married. I see this guy down Pier 7. He got women all over the place, but he ain't married. But the guy was married the whole time, but he never announced his wife until the pandemic came on Facebook. We're celebrating 20 years of marriage. Well, hold on, who's this guy? You know, this guy was there. And a lot of people don't do that. So what, give me your take on having an announceable, how important it is for you as a man to wear a wedding ring and to announce your marriage.
Well, thank you for that. I like that term. You know, when I speak and have been speaking for the last, I guess, about 10 years, at the beginning of my speech, I tell a story about when I was in Japan speaking for the U.S. Marines. And then I say, my bride and I, and I say, oh, let me stop. Let me stop for a minute before I tell the rest of this story. When I mention my bride, and the first time I mention her in every speech, I got to stop for a moment and hold on to something because I get weak in my knees. Because we're newlyweds. And people will clap, oh, y'all are newlyweds. And I say, yeah, we're newlyweds. June 28th, we'll celebrate 33, 34, 35 years of marriage. And people say, they start laughing. I say, now you ask why I'm a newlywed, because I still got the fire for her. I tell people publicly. I tell them privately. I would crawl over broken glass to get to that woman. And I told my wife one day, I said, if you leave me, I'm coming with you. And women love that. Women come up to her after my speech, where we're usually at the autograph table signing books, and they say, how did you get him to say that about you? And she'll say, well, you tell him what you say, D. You get that all every time.
I said it's hard work.
That's right. It's hard work. And
I laugh when I say that, but it's communication, and it's also humility that no one person knows everything, and the desire to study your mate because you want to find out what makes them tick. And if you find out what makes them tick, what turns them on, what floats their boat, to positively influence them. It is very difficult to have an impact on somebody that you are not close to. So how do you get close to your mate? First, you have to decide that this person is worthy enough of my attention, of my efforts. Once, and you should have done that before you marry them. But just in case it's just all jacked up, it's not too late. You must make a conscious decision that I was not a fool when I married this person and that I am going to make it work. How do I make it work? I've got to find out about them. I've got to get close to them. How do I do that when they're turning me off? I have to decide, is there something about them that I like? Because I married them for a reason. Was it just sex? Was it just the money? An honest conversation with yourself is so important. That's crucial, because until you're honest with yourself, yes, you'll be sleeping in separate rooms, or maybe one will be out in the shed or something, you know? So you got to decide, this person is worth it. Our relationship is worth it. Our kids are worth it. And you know what? It's cheaper to keep them, because it's very, very expensive to go through a divorce, especially now during the pandemic. So when you say, you know what, there's something about this person that's worth the investment, that's the starting point. And then you have to put forth the effort before the feelings. So the effort, being uncomfortable, learning how to talk to your mate about those things that are uncomfortable, and it can be hard. Now, I would say, you know what, this is my second rodeo. Willie had never been married before. I was married right out of college. It didn't work for a variety of reasons. He was a nice man. We never talked. That's the problem. I didn't know how to explain what I was feeling, what was annoying, nor could I express it in a way that I felt comfortable. And that did not help our marriage. So when I got out of that, my position was I will never get married again because I don't know how to do it. I'm an embarrassment to my family, my parents, my father's a minister, all these other kinds of things. And I'm sure there are people out there who are saying, boy, I get this. What had to change was me. I had to decide, you know what, I messed up. What caused the problem? Number one, I have a problem. I'm an introvert. Doesn't mean I'm not afraid of people, but it's just that I marinate things in my mind forever before I say it. And I had to learn that my mate is not a mind reader. And I had to learn to talk, to communicate, to get Willie to understand what I was feeling, what I was thinking, and to get his buy-in. That's called communication. And that's called I needed to study him so I would learn how to say. And then I would have to practice what I was going to say to him. He is my best friend. So how is he my best friend? Because I share my innermost thoughts and feelings, because I want him to understand me. Then likewise, he will do the same. But you know what? When I was like this hard nut to crack and I kept saying no, he befriended me before I was befriendable. Does that make sense? He liked me and would not give up on me until my outer shell cracked. And then he could touch my heart. And at a weakened moment, we went out for lunch and came back married. And it was the best marriage I ever stumbled into.
Amen. So, Russell, a couple things I want to you see why I married her. She's smart. She's articulate. She's brilliant. And for those who don't know, she's beautiful. You can actually see what she looks like on our website, jollymarriage.com. I want to encourage everybody, in fact, to go to jollymarriage.com and get a free chapter from the book. She talked about a lot about communications in that little segment, and communications is one of the three big boulders that either will make or break a marriage. And most people know that it's that communications issue. There are three boulders: sex, money, and communication that will break up a marriage. But if you are able to learn to communicate and figure out how to communicate, don't stonewall, don't shut down, don't do the silent treatment. We got a lot of things in that chapter. We give that chapter, which is the biggest chapter in the book, we give that away free to everybody, anybody, lottie-dottie. Everybody can get access to that. So go to jollymarriage.com. The other thing she mentioned, that we're best friends, and that's chapter number one. Chapter number one is friends first. Before anything else, friends first. Now, many people will say, don't you make God first? Well, God is our chapter number two. But chapter number one, we got a lot. We tell that you got to get friends first because, look, statistics show that 50% of marriages, one out of every two marriages ends in divorce. That includes people who are people of faith. That includes Christians. That includes Catholics, Jews, and Muslims. They're breaking up in mass. One out of every two of them are breaking up because they thought just making God, hand it over to God, and he said, oh, he'll fix it for you. Y'all not friends. Well, God got a lot on his plate, but that he's not going to make y'all friends if you don't want to do it.
You got to put forth the effort.
That's right. You got to do the work. So friends first, though. We like each other, and we have been interviewed a lot of people in this book. The first year we wrote, it took 2 years to write the book, Russell. First year was all that we had learned, what we had learned in 30-plus years, and we put that in the book, and I thought the book was finished. But my wife says, not quite right yet. It's not ready yet. And I listened to her. I listened to her wisdom. And in that next year, we interviewed people who had been married 40, 50, 60, and even 70 years, and those lessons we added into the book. And of all those, people talked about over and over again how critically important it was to marry somebody you really like, that you really dig. Because, see, Russell, people get married for all sorts of reasons. They get married because they need a green card. They get married because somebody looked good. They get married because somebody had some money. They get married because somebody was good in bed. They get married because some woman was boom, boom, bam, bam. I mean, she had it popping in all of the right places. They get married because some guy was handsome. They get married for all sorts of reasons. But we have learned that those marriages that are sustainable and those that are at most happy are the ones where you just dig being with that person. You don't have to say nothing together. You don't have to no special conversation. You just like their presence. You like their aura. You like their spirit. And so that's what we are. We just dig each other, and we like each other. And we're here 10 months. We work together, and we talk, and we laugh. My son, when he was living here before the pandemic, and he would sometimes come in our room late at night and say, what are y'all in here giggling and laughing about? Just the two of y'all. Are you got TV on? No. TV was off. We'd just be talking and laughing and giggling and just enjoying each other. So,
but you know what? Someone might say, you know what? The reason I'm sleeping in a different room is that they get on my nerves. I really don't like them. So there's something in the book that talks about that, too. What chapter is that, Willie?
That one is in chapter number one, How to Befriend Your Spouse.
That is very, very
how to fix when it's not when you didn't marry your best friend. Now, many people are already in the boat. The boat is out in the water. They got no oars. Now, what do they do? Well, how do you befriend your spouse? How do you become friends after you've been married a long time and you're getting on each other's nerve, you're sleeping? How do you fix that? Man, we just don't want to give you the say, okay, you need to be friends first. Now we're going to tell you how to do it, even if you're already married. That's a powerful part.
Yes.
That's why you need that book. And when you go to jollymarriage.com, we recommend you get two copies of the book. We got in my newsletter, anybody who – in fact, I tell you what, here's what I'm going to do. This week in our newsletter, we have a picture, and some resources for people of a married couple who sent us a picture of the two of them in bed together, both of them with their copy of the book, reading it in the evening. The husband was reading, the wife was holding up her copy so she could take the picture. And we want to send you my newsletter. It's powerful. Plus, I've got some other great resources in the newsletter. We do it once a week. It's a powerful newsletter, and it tells you about all the great events and the free stuff we got. If you will send us an email right now at info@willyjolly.com, I-N-F-O, info at WILLIEJOLLEY.com, info@willyjolly.com. Just put in the title line or in the subject line, friend of Russell. That's all you got to do. We'll send you the newsletter and some other goodie, too. We always like to send people goodies. If you're a friend of Russell, you're a friend of mine. So just say, friend of Russell, send me my gift. We'll send you a little goodie.
That's an excellent opportunity for people to get the book and know about the book, your newsletter, and the free chapter in the book. But like you say, Willie, you got to be friends first. Communicate. But you mentioned all those reasons for people getting married, and it's true. They get married because somebody looks good. They get married because somebody wants to make sure they have a car, or they get married because of the green card. Those are things that people really do get married for. But the love is not there. The communication is not there. And then when you get married, marriage is not for the weak at heart. But during the pandemic, it's even harder. I believe it's harder during the pandemic, because if you don't love that person and now you're stuck in the house with that person and they don't love you, you're not communicating, you're not having a good time with each other, and now you're stuck with each other. But like your wife said, like Dee said, divorce is, it ain't cheap. To get divorced nowadays is even harder, and people are tied up financially. I know a lot of couples that are married talking about getting out the marriage, you know, but they can't get out because they have to give their husband a lot of money, you know, 401k money. You know, they got to give. And here's another thing that people don't realize. Where you love or how you love or who loves you for real, the real deal during the pandemic is, are you beneficiary love worthy? People are sacking with each other. True story, Willie. The guy was living with somebody in Fort Watts for 10 years. She got the COVID, went to the hospital and died. She called he calls the lady's daughter in Florida, tell her his mother died. Her mother died. She has to come up and get the funeral. But she said, hold up. Don't you do nothing till I get there, because guess what? I am the power attorney, and I'm the beneficiary. And when she got there, she told him, you better hold your roll. I'm going to decide what dress you want to put on. I'm doing everything. And when we put her in the ground, you getting out this house. She had three insurance policies, over $500,000 between the three of them. Not one was he was beneficiary of. Not one.
With that love.
Beneficiary love, where are you beneficiary worthy love? And so how deep is your love during the pandemic?
Wow.
Are you the beneficiary of anybody's policy? Because that's the true deal. You want to know where you stand. A lot of people leaving their stuff to their kids and all that, but you got a wife or you got somebody supposed to be in love with, they have to be taken care of. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. You got two words. You got announceable marriage, and you got beneficiary love. Wow, Mr. Russell, you are working
it. Are you beneficiary love worthy? Come on, don't tell me you love me, and you got the COVID, I can't even come see you in the hospital, but then you die. Then you die.
Wow.
And then all the stuff comes out. You didn't love me. I was never beneficiary love worthy.
They lived together for 10 years?
They were sacking together for, he was giving football parties, Super Bowl parties. I mean, he had guys over, he acted like it was his house. I mean, he was living large in this big old $1 million house in Fort Washington. But what he realized, he was never married to her. That she didn't want to marry him. But the other side of that coin was, the love was not, she didn't love him like that. Yeah. There's another chapter in your book what I want to talk about. It's called Leaving the Drama with Your Mama. And that's another chapter that you need to expound on, because you have to realize how many people are married, and when the mother comes home, when the mother visits, or the mother says, I'm coming in from Florida, or I'm coming in from Germany, whatever, and she comes in that house, the mother puts down an image that you ain't nothing in this house. Even though you're married to my son, I got the mother card, and my mother's not going to, my son's not going to override you for her. Talk about that.
Wow. Okay, let me tell you about that. So we talk about friends first. That's chapter number one. Chapter number two is make God an equal part of your marriage, which I kind of alluded to, that God is a big part of our marriage. We run everything through the prism of what would God say. Number three is decide to make it last. Love is an emotion. Marriage is a decision. Emotions change. And that is why you've got to decide. This is it. When we got married, I told my wife, I said, look, this is it. I know you've been married before. That didn't work. And so this time, this is it. Now, you got an option on how if you wanted to get out of this marriage, you got a choice. You got an option. The option is you can die. You die, you good. Other than that, we in this for the rest of our lives. Then chapter number four is communicate, which is the chapter we give away. We want everybody to go get a copy of that chapter. Free. You get the chapter, not the book, but the chapter free at jollymarriage.com. If you're going to buy the book, get two copies. In fact, we were at a church. A lady came up to us. We were speaking, and we had done a little piece on the book at the church. And a lady ran up at the end of the service and said, I need two copies because my husband's on the way. And I said, oh, okay, D. I said, let's sign two copies because the husband's coming to pick her up. She said, no. He didn't come coming to pick me up. I don't have a husband. He's on the way. I believe in it. He's on the way. I just got to prepare. When he get here, I got a book for him to read. All right, so get two copies. And there's a chapter in the book, by the way, for people who are not yet married. There's a chapter in there for single people on how you know how to choose the right person, whether they are a prospect or a suspect. So there's a chapter in there for single people. Now, you asked about chapter number five. This is chapter number, Leave the Drama with Your Mama. I'm going to read a piece, and if you go again to, I tell you what, if you go to winwithwilly.com, if you go there, you can access not only the marriage website, because also all my websites are one page. You can access some of my other websites, but more importantly, you can sign up for my newsletter. And you sign up for my newsletter, then you'll get access to a free video message I send out every morning, Monday through Friday. You can hear it on Radio 1, but you can also get a free video version sent to you free. We send it to you. Here's what's coming up this week, and this is the piece about that chapter. It says, we have been married for almost 36 years. Today's tip to help you win in your marriage is to leave the drama with your mama. Drama and crazy our choice. As things get crazy in your life, you do not have to get crazy with them. And we have too many people who are getting their marriage tips and cues from reality television, the housewives of this place, the housewives, and they are all crazy. They do nothing but drama, throwing stuff, hollering and screaming, tearing up the house, all of that. You know what? That's for ratings on television. That is their job is to get ratings. And so they do crazy stuff. Doing that stuff in a real-life marriage will not get you high ratings. It will get you a poor divorce. So we say don't take your cues from reality show. One of the things I want people to know is scripture is true, that when you were a child, you thought like a child. You acted like a child. But when you grew up, you put away those childish things. So now that you're grown, you need to put away childish things. No more hollering and screaming and wanting to get your way and temper tantrums and shutting down and drama kings and drama queens. That's drama. And there's no more drama. So leave the drama with your mama.
what about the aspect, though, of your mother in a marriage when a mother is what they call the queen in the husband's mind over the wife?
Well, your mama's
daughter.
You know, they're mama's boy. I was a mama's boy. Now, let me make it clear. I was mama's boy. I lived with my mama till I got married.
And then I moved in.
And then she moved in, and we were going to get. She wanted to get an apartment. My wife wanted to get an apartment. I said no. I said, why don't we stay with my mama in the attic for a year? I promise you, if you live in the attic of my mama's house for 1 year, I promise you, I'll buy your house. 1 year from getting married, we've got our home.
Let me interject here about this concept of a mama's boy. I think that society makes things negative to fit their needs. To me, when I hear a mama's boy, I'm like, it's someone who respects their mother. I watched how they interacted with each other. Willie's mom was a school teacher. She became a widow when, Willie was 12 and his brother was 13 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I watched how she, in the time that I was with, when I, you know, met Willie, interacted with Willie, and watched how Willie and his brother interacted with their mother. They loved and they respected her. Yes, ma'am. Now, even if they didn't agree, they always talked. He had a love of his mother. He bought her coffee and the bagel and everything in the morning whenever he was in town. He talked to his mama every day. Why would I not want a man who respected his mother and loved her and doted on her? Now, to me, that was a carryover to me. Because he respects me.
That's the way it's supposed to be. When you love
opinion.
Your mother, like I'm a mother's, I love my mother to death. And when you love your mother, you can love a woman. But here's the key to this, the mother situation is when the, that's why they have songs about it called Mother-in-Law. When the mother comes into the household and decides that she's going to be the queen of the household over the wife, that's where the problem comes at. And the son has to make a decision in some cases to, I guess, love his mother more than his wife. In other words, he has to say, hey, you know, the mother may start disrespecting the wife. And instead of standing up for the wife, he lets the mother get away with it because of the fact that he loves his mother more than his wife.
Okay, so what we, with the chapter, we deal with that. We deal with that in the fact that we call it uncomfortable conversations,
mm-hmm.
difficult conversations. So here's, folks, how you do that. So we never had that problem. My mother loved D and respected
him. She was such an easygoing spirit and developed a sense of cooperation wherever she was.
Right. She was just a sweetheart. But no, let's talk about you have to have. So the husband got. Let me set this scenario. What I would recommend. Oh, by the way, on Monday nights, 9 o'clock, we do the Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last, the broadcast TV show, and we take questions. If you'll send us a question in advance, we will try and get to all the questions.
And you can even put them in the chat.
Sometimes you can put them in the chat. Facebook Live, Willie.Jolly, Facebook Live, also on Instagram, The Real Willie Jolly. Now, but we recommend you send it in advance so we can make sure to try and get to it. Now, if someone were to send that question, here's how I would answer it. That the husband is between a rock and a hard place. He loves his mama. He loves his wife. His mama wants to be the queen of the house. His wife is the queen of his life. So what does he do? How does he handle it? First, number one thing he does, he prays for wisdom. Okay? That's the first thing he does is pray for wisdom before he does anything. Because wisdom is the ability to have wisdom is to know what to do when you don't know what to do. So you'll be given this extra gift of thinking that another level that you'll say, oh, I got the answer. That's first you pray for wisdom. Number two, you must have the difficult conversations. They're going to be difficult conversations with your wife, with your mama, with your father, with your brothers, with your sisters, your coworkers. Their life often gives you difficult conversations. So when you have to have an uncomfortable, difficult conversation, you must employ what we call the 4F formula. The 4F formula is be friendly, be frank, be fair, be focused on a positive win-win. Be friendly. When you start off any difficult conversation with your wife, your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your sister, or your coworker, you always got to start by being friendly. If you start out at belligerent, angry, it's always going to put up defense mechanisms on the other person. So be friendly. Start out friendly. Then be frank. Here's how how this whole thing is making me feel. It's not you do this or you said that or you did this or you. No, it's about me. Here's how that made me feel. Or here's what I'm struggling with. Or here's how my feelings are hurt. Or whatever it is, but it deals with, be honest about how you feel in this situation. Be friendly. Be frank about your feelings. Be fair. Listen. Why does your mama want to be the queen of the house? What makes her feel that is necessary? Listen. And then listen to your wife. Why she's feeling the way she's. Listen. I listen to my wife when she'll say, I've got a problem with something or something happened, and I listen. So be friendly, be frank, be fair, listen, and then be focused on a win-win. How do we get this to be a win-win? There is a win-win. Let's figure it out. And let's work toward that win-win. That makes a lot of the drama go away. So those 4 F's, friendly, frank, fair, and focused on a win-win.
Let me add here that it is unfortunate that a mother has to interject herself in the life of her married children. That's not her role. And being a mother of a grown son who has not married yet but relationships, I have a responsibility to be supportive because it is his choice. I am prayerful. Keep showing your knees more now than ever before that his choices reflect how we have raised him. But I can't force him to choose somebody that I like or say, oh, they're doing this wrong, they're doing that wrong. That creates a wedge between your child and you. Why would you want to do that? And might I suggest that that's called selfishness. It's not love. It's selfishness. It's mean-spiritedness. And it is a no-win situation.
Excellent. Yep. Excellent. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's what my mother was, a person who respected my decisions. Anyone that I ever talked to or I ever brought home when I got married, they loved my wife. They didn't dislike or have a problem with someone that because I chose someone who was in the image of my mother, someone who I knew that if I respected her, my mother would respect her. I didn't choose anyone that would be, you know, derogatory type of woman that my mother would say, what are you doing with her? What's wrong with her? Well, let's talk about this next chapter called Sex, Headaches, and Other Lies.
We want to get to that chapter. I wanted to get to that chapter. You want to get – and look, every man I know want to get to that chapter, all right?
Sex, Headaches, and Other Lies.
Chapter number 8. Now, let me tell you why we named it that. That's why the title of that chapter is what it is. Sex, Headaches, and Other Lies. And we named that because a friend of ours, Jane Herlong in South Carolina, told us as we were writing a book about a story about her mother. Her mother was just this wise woman but told her the truth. And on her wedding day, her mother said to her, baby, don't you ever tell that lie that you have a headache. Because when you tell that lie that you have a headache, understand there's a woman somewhere with an aspirin in her pocketbook. So look, what that says is when you have a headache, it creates a headache for the man, and so we don't want no headaches in your marriage. Sex is a big part of marriage, and it is a great part of marriage, but understand that it's not the same for men as it is for women. That's a big part that people need to know. Now, that doesn't mean that women don't like sex, don't want sex. No, it's a difference. The difference is that women are interested and critically need two things: intimacy and security. They need intimacy. Now, sex can be intimacy, but intimacy does not always mean sex. That means that warm feeling that women get that they are really good with, they're happy with, that feeling that you got them, you're supporting them, that you love them, that you let them know that they are first in your life. So that intimacy comes in a number of different ways. So intimacy and security. Now, men need two things: sex and respect. They need physically having sex, the physical act. Men think about sex, according to statistics and research, over 17 times a day. And sometimes that's even before breakfast. They think about sex a lot. And so what we want to encourage women to know is men need sex. And when you deny that, that doesn't make it, that doesn't fix it. Oh, you know, they use sex as a weapon. We put in the book, do not use sex as a bargaining tool or a weapon. You know, you can use, you can encourage them through sex. You know, I tell the story often that when I grew up, I never made up my bed. I said, why make up a bed? I'm going to get back in it tonight. What's the sense of making this bed up? But my wife loves a made-up bed with the pillows and all of the big fluffy blankets and the different colored sheets, and she likes it made up. Well, when we got married, I was like, why do this? Well, she said, because it'll make me happy. And if you make me happy, I'm going to take and make you happy. Well, she hooked me up, okay? She hooked me up consistently and enough times for me to realize that I wanted to keep making her happy.
So, in other words, he's saying I conditioned him.
Conditioned my behavior. I make that bed up every single solitary day. Russell, I make up the bed every morning. I make that bed up because I've been conditioned, okay?
Because I get out of the bed before him because I have yoga and all these other things going on. And by the time I come back to shower and the like, he's up and the whole bed is made up and the pillows are on the bed and everything. But it's gradual. So I think we're going back to, and we're saying the communication factor is very important. So I didn't holler and scream. I studied him. I identify what is it that turns him on. What is it that makes him happy? What do I want? Where is there the meeting of the minds? And so after I explained to him why this was important to me, that didn't mean that he wanted to do it because it wasn't important to him. But as I sweetly and tenderly and being close to him, would whisper certain things in his ears and do certain things to him and remind him of the pleasures that he would receive when he would do certain things, conditioning set in.
Awesome. That's what you are so, what I call inspirational to so many people, but what is really, really awesome is both of you are black people. Black people. When you see a black couple like yourself and Willie Jolly, talk about Matt. You realize that nobody has done this to this degree like you and your wife? Willie, I mean, you really have touched upon something, and I want to tell people, the audience is listening. We have many people who are married. A lot of black couples are married. A lot of people have been in Hollywood, been married for a long time. But a lot of times it's interracial marriages, but we very seldom see two black people talk about marriage to this degree and write a book to this degree, but you both speak so profound. You can hear the love in your voice. It's 36 years, but there's love still there. There's still some honey left in the moon. It ain't like it's dead. So you got to realize that y'all have something that is so powerful. It's more powerful than just writing a book about setting yourself or a book about helping others. This is a book about love and marriage. I commend you both on doing what you did and what you're doing now, because believe me, and I want to tell you sincerely, this is needed. There's people that's listening to us right now, or people that are out there on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and you talked about these reality shows. Do you realize the reality shows, there is nothing on a reality show, and I don't watch them. I maybe watched one in my life, with Potomac or Housewives, and I tried to watch the one Potomac or Washington, but when I see these women and these marriages, and I look at when the husband comes in the room, he don't look like a husband to me. What kind of husband would even be in this? You know, I mean, you got, for instance, the Potomac wife, housewife Potomac. How do you be a pastor in Atlanta and come on? You know, you lose your husband card. It doesn't look right. You know, I'm just saying, to you, you're talking about things that are real. I mean, this thing is that rally thing, that ain't no marriage thing. And so, anybody watching that cannot feel a love or see the love. You don't look at nothing on there and talk about love. This show that you did today is pure love and essence of marriage. So I commend you again. Any last
words? Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Well, look, we are actually starting to have conversations with television networks, so we'll probably be on television by this time next year. And, you know, one of the reasons we pursued it was because we do want to give that model. People do what they see.
Yeah.
If they only see the negative, the drama, the lack of strong marriages in black families, we will tend to replicate that. So we want to be able, the fact that we are we love each other. Look, we love each other more now in 36 years than we did when we got married. I was hot to trot then, and I'm still hot to trot. She turns me on. So
I think there's a greater, on my part, there's a greater appreciation, and we're in the struggle, in the fight, in the development of our long-term relationship together. The appreciation is everything. And you also get to see when things are not going well, and you learn how to support each other, how do you come alongside? Doesn't mean one person's in front of the other. We have very different roles, but we complement each other and come alongside each other to make us a better whole. So we're complete in and of ourselves, but together we're dynamo.
Yep. That's exactly right. So as she said at the beginning of this, I'm the tree shaker, she the apple maker. So I shake up the tree, and the apples that fall to the ground, she makes applesauce, apple butter, apple juice, apples, apple everything. And she takes it and runs it. And so what we want to encourage people to do, let me give them a couple things I want them to do, because I know our time is almost up, is to first go get the free chapter from the book. Go to jollymarriage.com. Get the free chapter from the book at jollymarriage.com. And then while you're there, go ahead and buy either the books or get the big package. Now, if you're going to get the book, I recommend you get two copies, one for each of you. As I mentioned, we have a newsletter that we send out weekly, and we tell about what's going to come on my XM show. By the way, my XM show this upcoming week, Les Brown just was my guest last week. This week coming up will be Stephen Covey, the son of the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And so we're getting the A-listers on the show every week. But we'll give you more insight into that interview. We'll give you insight into other free resources as well as opportunities. And then there was this picture about a couple who bought two copies of the book. We put it in the newsletter, and they said that this is helping their marriage. We've had so many people who said that getting two copies was a secret. It's much cheaper, by the way. Two copies or the whole bundle. The bundle is two books, two workbooks, an audio book, and a CD seminar. The seminar CD, that's $99. I think it's $100, $99, $100. Whatever it is much cheaper than a divorce lawyer. So we recommend you get that, invest in your marriage, and then we're going to start, in the next few weeks, we're going to start a marriage, online marriage class. An online marriage class where people can get a monthly lesson from us on staying married, how to stay married, and how to be successful. And it's a class that they will be able to attend. My wife's a former teacher, and we're working on that now. We got a lot of stuff going on, Russell. So first, go to send us an email, info@willyjolly.com. Right now, just say, I want the gift. If you send us a email at info, I-N-F-O, at W-I-L-L-I-E-J-O-L-L-E-Y, .com, I will say in the title, in the subject, Friend of Russell's, please send a gift. We'll send you the newsletter as well as a special gift. Oh, do that. That's our gift to you. Any friend of Russell's, friend of mine. That's first. Second, jollymarriage.com. Go get at least two copies of the book or get the bundle. And third, go to winwithwilly.com and sign up for my newsletter. winwithwilly.com. Sign up for my newsletter. Next week, the next 2 weeks are going to be all about marriage. All the shows on my daily show on the Erica Campbell radio show on Get Up Mornings with Erica Campbell on here in Washington on Praise 104.1 on Radio 1, Praise 104.1 at 8:20. I'll be talking about marriage tips. And then also we send out a one-minute video to those who are on the newsletter every morning that will inspire you. We've got people all around the world who are getting their gift of that video and are responding in kind. So, look, we're trying to get it on, Russ. I thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for your model, the Black Card, the Be There magazine, the parties. I got one of your awards you gave me right in my office. Man, I can't wait till this thing is over. I cannot wait. And all the homies, all the handsome guys, the beautiful ladies, the players, the ladies, all going to be at one of Russell Price's parties. We going to have a showdown. Am I right about it, Russell?
Oh, you're going to have the ballers and the big shot callers. Everybody going to be there. But
that's
I want to
right,
commend
that's
you
right.
again. I want to commend you again because you have everything that every man would want to have. I mean, you've got it all. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. But you just like Joe Biden. I mean, you got you a baby Jill Biden, man. I mean, your wife is a teacher also, just like the first lady. Your first lady's a teacher. I mean, everything
that's
the president
right.
got, you got.
That's right. That's right.
I mean,
you got it.
You got it all. You got it all, like you say.
I'm a blessed man, and I give God glory.
Every couple needs to read this book. It's a life changer. It's the 10 Keys to Jolly Good Marriage because success is better together. This has been a pleasure and an honor. This has been pulling your eyelids open. And this morning we pulled your eyelids open when it comes to relationships and marriage. Tune in every day from 10 to 11. We give it to you straight talk, no chaser. My name is Russell Price, the publisher of Be There Magazine, the king of all marketing. See you on Monday.
Get a copy, Billy?
Yeah, I'll tell him to send you a copy.
Okay, I'm out.
All right.
Great show, man. Went well. Great show. Went well. Hello?